Romans chapter 8. Last Sunday night, Pam and I went to this play. It was over the top. Absolutely over the top. Right? Those of you that went, it was tremendous. Just tremendous. Our young people and the memory work they did, it was wonderful. I had said 2 weeks ago that Romans is my favorite book in the Bible, and that chapter 6 is one of the peaks of the book. 7's a peak, and then 8 is the pinnacle, the top of the top, in my judgment. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to talk about this road to holiness. Today we'd like to talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit, to allow you to be in charge, body, soul, and spirit, Lord. We pray that you would grant us that request. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, by the way, how many people we got here today, Tracy?
Oh, I'm just trying to determine that. We're about 30-ish.
30? Well, we got trouble. We got trouble. Because last week I said the average church in America, evangelical church, is 50, according to a pastor I had met on Saturday. And Mike, you have just been demoted. Something's happened. You no longer are the pastor of our church here, so you better get on the phone this week. All right. Who would like to share something? Just anything you'd like happening in your life spiritually. Something good. Something bad. Anything you haven't had a chance to say. Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, at our coffee shop, I introduced myself to a woman named Anita. I'd never seen her before at our church. And she's like, I don't know if we've ever met before. And she goes, I believe I met you. You came to my door one time and prayed with me.
Oh my goodness. How many years earlier?
I used to do it with my old church, so that was like over 10 years ago. Oh my
goodness. Isn't that neat? Wow. She remembered.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'd like to make a correction. Last week, I do have some people in the class that are doing fact-checking on me, because I like to throw out trivia, so I want to make sure I'm accurate. I said that, and I did, I ran 3.7 miles, maybe 3.8, every morning at 4:50, I said for like 35 years, okay, starting in my 20s, and I did that. But I do want to make a correction. I started doing that when I was about 28. I had a very stressful job, and I read that this might help, and it did, because that became my prayer time too, and still does. I did this, but when I hit 56 one day, I said to myself, I am sick and tired of doing this. I remember the day. I'm done. And so I've been walking fast ever since. I have. But not at 4:50. I'm at 4:50 in the morning. I'm retired now. I find myself doing it at around 8 o'clock. You know what I mean? So I just want you to know, just so I be totally accurate. What's that? And I tried to do a swimming and bike riding, because you got to keep active. It's important. When you're as old as I am, and I by far am the oldest in this class. So I just want you to know that. The blank page, by the way, is your outline for today. And I do want to, I won't bother, but I wanted to show you my notes from last Wednesday in Pastor Bob's class. It's totally filled with notes. I didn't need his outline. I just take my own notes. So I'm kind of doing it that way. When we do suffering, we'll probably have a neat little outline. So I just want you to know that. So we talked chapter 6, dead to sin, 7 last week, and I want to finish that up, that we're dead to law. And I told a bizarre story about a lady who had two men in her life, visualized in chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. And how we as Christians, so often, we try in our flesh, as it were, to keep the law, thinking that this is how we can live a good Christian life. And I gave you some practical illustrations of that. The most devout Jew I've ever known in my life, I love Jewish people. I was a businessman, a banker, and I loaned a lot of money to a lot of Jews, because a lot of Jewish people own businesses. Avi Ben-Adaret was by far the most devout Jew I've ever met in my life, and he and I became very close friends. He's been to this church. And Avi tried to keep the law of God fervently, 700 precepts, he said. He tried to keep them every day, you know? And that's the way he lived. He lived his life. It's so sad, really. He needed Christ, you know? And Paul is sort of in that state. If you look at chapter 7, verses 14 to 25, I was going to read it all there, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say this. If you look at chapter 7, verses 14 to 25, the Apostle Paul, to me, the greatest Christian that ever lived. You know? I mean, he's right up there at the top with my mom. She's up there too. And to me, here's the Apostle Paul. And he's talking about living this Christian life. And it's a desperate situation. And he just can't do it. He's trying to keep the law and trying to serve God and all this. And then he reaches that monumental comment. Okay? That monumental comment in chapter 7 at the end. And he says, I'm just going to paraphrase. I am a wretched man. I can't do it. I can't live this life. It doesn't work. You know? And it's a remarkable statement. And then we come into chapter 8. And we talk how to live a life that we never thought we could live. And that's the life of walking in the Spirit. Okay? And that's what I want to dwell on. Any other thoughts on that from last week? You know what I'm talking about. It's a battle. And we want to please God. All right. Let's go to Walking in the Spirit, chapter 8. I want to read just a few portions of Scripture out of this chapter. I have noted just some that I'd read, and I'm going to pick the verses I'm reading out of the New International Version, and I want to read a few of these, and then we'll go on. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Paul says, I'm done. I can't live it. I can't do it. Here's what he says next. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's God's law. It's perfect. Nothing wrong with it at all. There's something wrong with you and I. We need help. And it's Christ in us. He became the sin offering. Then skip down to 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but you are controlled by the Spirit of God who lives in you. He lives within you. And then go to verse 15, last phrase. We have such a relationship with our Lord that we refer to him as Abba, Father, our daddy. He is our daddy, okay? Not just our dad, he's our daddy. And we cry unto him for help. Abba, Father, okay? And so that sets the stage for what I want to talk about today. All right? We think it is enough to be in Christ. But we learn there's far more. Because we want to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Am I living in the flesh or am I living in the Spirit? What controls my day-to-day life? Very practical. This means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do within me what I myself cannot do. Okay? I want to please God. I don't know about you. I do know about you a little bit. But I love the Lord. And I am so glad that He saved me. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I am so glad that He saved me. Jewel, I know Jewel well. Can you imagine where you would be if Christ hadn't saved you years ago at the Salvation Army Church? Huh, sister?
You'd be in hell right now.
You'd be in hell. You wouldn't be alive today, right? She's told me that many times. She was in my class for 10 years, so I can get away with saying that. Yeah.
Praise God.
It is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Let me tell you. Okay? This means that I trust the Holy Spirit. I trust the Holy Spirit to do into me what I can't do, folks. I can't live this life. I need Him. He has to be the one. It is not a case of trying to live the Christian life. It's a case of trusting. Okay? It's not a case of struggling in the Christian life. I see a lot of Christians struggling. Okay? Man, they're struggling. We're going to hear a lot about struggling when we take up the subject of suffering. No. It's not a case of struggling. It's of resting in Him. Of resting in Him. I want to hear from one of you at least. Who is the person in your life, not counting your husband and not counting your mom or dad, if that's the case, but who in your life, of all the people in your life, when I say this, comes right to mind, that was just the greatest example to you of what it meant to walk in the Spirit? I'll prime the pump with mine. I was in Hawaii for the Marine Corps. Hideo Yamamoto was an elder at the church I went to, Pam and I. Hideo Yamamoto was the finest Christian I've ever known in my entire life. What a dear, dear brother. He was 20 years older than we were. He was 42. Man, I thought, this guy's really old. I remember that, thinking, this guy's an old man. But he was young. What a man. He walked in the Spirit. Give me somebody in your life. Come on.
My grandma.
Go ahead.
My grandma.
Say that. Your grandma. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And why was that?
She loved the Lord. She probably had she had the most giving spirit. She was had a servant's heart.
Wow, wonderful. How about one more?
Al Fortuna.
He's the guy to help you find Christ.
Absolutely.
Why was he the best in your life?
God just put him there. I was working in the dining room at Chrysler's. Got a transfer down into the shipping. One day later, come up and said, I have a great Bible study. Would you like to join it? That was it.
Right at the lunch hour.
Yep.
He used to go to our church.
Yep.
Mom and Dad, too. Isn't that great? If you have a nasty temper, if you have impure thoughts, maybe a quick tongue or a critical spirit, I don't want to set out with a determined effort to change myself. It won't work long term. But instead, I want to reckon myself dead to sin. Okay? I want to reckon myself dead in Christ to these things. And I'm going to look to the Spirit of God who lives within me to produce in me the needed purity, the humility, the meekness, and the confidence that He will do it on a daily basis. That's the life we're called to live, folks. When the Holy Spirit takes things in hand, let me tell you, there's no need to strain on your part. There's no need to strain on your part at all. When I was a young pup, I don't know what I was, 25. I've been very depressed about my age twice in my life. I was 25, and I was still in the Marine Corps, okay? And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm an old man, and I don't even have a career. I remember being depressed for about a day. And then I was depressed when I hit, I think it was 63 it hit me. I thought, wow, I'm really getting old. And those are the only 2 days that I recall that I was depressed about my age. Why am I telling you that? I have no idea. Just came to mind. It just came to mind. But when I was a young pup, what was that? I didn't hear the joke.
Continue on.
He said, I can't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah, that's right. When I was a young pup, I was a loan officer at a bank. We loaned money to corporations. Okay? And there was a guy named Dan O'Connor. He was in charge of the whole department. So I would go out on a call with him to meet with a company for like a $5 million loan. And I mean, there was a lot of work involved. Dan knew everything. He knew how to sell the deal. He knew how to close the deal. He knew how to make the deal, everything. I didn't have to do anything. I would sit there and just take notes. And I was so confident there. I'm sitting there around the table with a dozen people, and I'm thinking, man, I'm a big shot. You know, we're going to loan 5 million of these people, and I'm going to be in charge of it. I never had to do a thing. Dan did all the work, and he got the deal for me. I felt so confident. I felt so good. I didn't have to do anything. Guess what? That's what walking in the Spirit's all about. Amen? When you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to be struggling about this whole business. You could trust. Okay? You could trust. I wasn't going to tell you this. Can I tell you a bizarre quick story? Yes. Of yesterday? I think it fits. Yesterday, I told Pam, my buddy Steve, who lives in Northville, he's been divorced 2 or 3 times. He got saved. I led him to Christ 12 years ago. Okay, and he's really a good friend. So he called me up and said, Barry, I want to go to a Tiger game. So we go down to a Tiger game to get tickets. It was only 8,000. Anyway, we couldn't get tickets. Sold out, and there's nobody on the street selling tickets right now. So we had a good time. We ended up going over to a little dinky restaurant that somebody had told me about a mile, right at the foot of the Ambassador Bridge. We went and had a lot of dinner and stuff. This was last night. You know, we're having a good old time. And we talk about the Lord all the time. This guy just loves the Lord. I mean, we're in the Scripture. I mean, it's just a great time. As we came out, walking in the Spirit, I mean this. As we came out, there was a protest at the entrance to the restaurant. An African-American lady had been fired there about a week ago. And she had a team of about 15, 12 maybe, and they were really protesting loud, screaming and yelling. The F word was like coming out of every other word. It was not good. I said to Broda, I said, you know, we're going to go to our car and scoot out of here, right? I don't know. The Spirit of God just said, no, uh-uh. There's something to do here. I said to Broda, I said, come on, let's go over there and witness to these people. And he carries a bunch of neat tracks. I'm going to bring some in, some beautiful tracks about Christ. So he said, no, Molo, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I said, come on. I think we need to do it. So we walk on over there. Okay? He says, let me go get the tracks. So he gets the tracks. He gives them out to everybody. I said, what's going on here? I mean, they're yelling and screaming. I mean, it's not good. I said, what's going on here? And the lady said, well, I got fired. And she told me those stories. I said, hey, let's stop all this talk. I mean, imagine a crazy man like me. I said, let's just stop. Come on, everybody come over. And they did. They all came over. And we gave the tracks. I said, let's just be quiet for just a minute. You people need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, folks. I'm telling you. And I know you got a problem here. And we were with them for about 10 minutes. Do you know that all the F, when the F word started to come out as they talked to us, they always apologized to us for swearing? Isn't that amazing? That's the Spirit of God. They apologized for the F word. And then the F words went away. And we prayed. We prayed out loud. I mean loud. We asked God to save these people, to change these people, and to help these people. And I told her what she ought to do. Okay? And we had a good time. To me, that was an example. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound crazy? When we got in the car, Broda said, oh, Barry, that was fantastic. You know? And he gave his testimony of how he came to Christ. And I said, Steve, we'll never see these people again, but perhaps we touched somebody's life today. Isn't that great? Yeah. That is walking in the Spirit. Don't be afraid. I didn't know. I thought they might crush us. You know? I mean, they were mad. I told the lady, by the way, she was a beautiful lady. I mean, really pretty. Not that that should matter, but I just, you know, I've never been pretty. So, you know, when I meet pretty, believe me, I like pretty, you know. So, So I said to her, I said, let me tell you, young lady, I'm telling you, you could have a job tomorrow. I said, I worked in banking business. I know dozens of companies. They're just crying for people. They are. They can't get people. Pam went to CVS to get a little jar. They couldn't give her the jar yesterday because they said, we don't have enough staff to serve you. I mean, this is what's going on. I told her, I said, get your act together. I said, finish your protest today without a lot of unnecessary screaming. Finish the protest and then start looking for a new job. There's a ton of jobs out there. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
That's just reminding me, just for encouragement of walking in the Spirit, even when things maybe don't turn out the way you would like.
Right.
So about 8 years ago, one of the reasons I came was for the biblical counseling. I was working with Denise Hardy when I was in a very bad marriage. And I was, you know, when you're in a scary situation and there's fear, you kind of react instead of respond and all these things. And it was very volatile, very bad. So she, working with Denise, I was able to respond differently to my, when I was being emotionally and spiritually abused. I would, rather than, you know, yell back, I was beginning to just be able to, with the Spirit of God, in the Spirit, be able to just respond, you know, calmly, rationally, in the Spirit. And the more I did that, the angrier my husband got. He would slam doors in my face.
Yes.
And the Spirit of, there's nothing closer to Jesus that's ever faced him right now. And he is getting angry and angry and slamming doors in my face. And he still left us. But my point is, I know that I was walking in the Spirit and I was changing and becoming more like Christ in the middle of one of the hardest times in my life, desperately hard times.
Yes.
And I'm just so grateful for that because when I look back, I have no regrets. I have no shame. I know that I did all that I could to do the right thing.
Amen.
The Spirit of God was there and he still left. But years later, he sort of apologized, not for that behavior, but that I'm no longer the problem. So years later, maybe I got some kind of backhanded thing, but apology. But the point is in the moment, it didn't turn out happy, but I knew that I was in the right place.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit was controlling her mind, which controlled her lips. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, when you live that life, Tammy, when you live that life, you can walk outside and say, I did the right thing. I did the right thing. There's joy. There's joy in living this life. Don't let anybody fool you. It's wonderful. Anybody else? You know, if I don't finish this, I have next week, 2 weeks. You know, I'm not going to get worried about it. Go ahead. Sister, you have something.
Yeah, I got one. Yesterday.
Now, she made me cry. I cry easily. Go ahead.
Yes, yesterday, usually when, just about every morning, I always ask the Lord to order my steps in his word.
Yes.
You know, give me the words to say. So after me and my husband, we got finished eating downtown Mount Clemens, it was a lady sitting on a bench. So we was getting in the car, and I looked, and I said, I'm going to go witness to her.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Like, you know, when Jesus told Peter, he going to make them fishers of men.
Right.
That's what I want to have a spirit of fishing for the men of souls. You know, it's not like I can save them.
Yeah.
But I just pray that God, you know, prepare their hearts to receive them when they hear the message. So I went to the young lady witness tour. I gave her a track and asked her name. Her name was Kayla. Kayla. And I was just asking her, what does she, you know, think about the afterlife? And she would just let me know what she didn't believe. She believed in reincarnation. So I said, so do you know what you was before this life? And she didn't know. So
yeah.
I said, if you believe in reincarnation, then that means you should know what you was before. You gonna be, you know? But she didn't, so... You know, I was speaking to her humbly and everything, and then just asked her, you know, if you were to die, and she didn't believe in, you know, where would you spend eternity after this life and stuff like that. So she just didn't really believe in. She just told me, I don't think I want to have this conversation at this time.
But you know what? You rejoiced.
Yeah, and I do. I don't. I used to be afraid of rejection or people knowing all this fussing. But, you know, it's like, that's my heart. I want to have the heart of the Lord to reach out, love, and witness to the lost and dying world. And
amen.
It's getting more as my walking in the spirit, knowing, you know, how to hear and listen to the voice of God. I just thank God for the spiritual maturity as I continue to learn how to walk and grow in the spirit of God leading and guiding me.
Amen.
And it's not me, but it's God doing everything. So, you know, like I think when we all die, we face God. God gonna show everybody he sent that person, he sent that person, and everybody gonna know their thoughts and their heart, and God gonna know it.
Amen.
So just leave it in God's hands. You know, just pray that, you know. And it could come later. We don't know. They can get saved later somewhere. We don't know.
That's right.
Do what the
I'm just a little step.
Do.
That's right. Listen to me, folks. The cross has been given to procure salvation for us. No question about it. But the Spirit of God has been given into our lives to produce salvation in us, if you understand. I never knew I could live this life. I never knew that I could have this joy. I didn't know it before, type attitude. You get what I'm saying? Christ risen and ascended is the basis of our salvation. But Christ in our hearts by the Spirit is the power of a day-to-day walk with Christ. Okay? And I have the ability to die to sin and to die to try to keeping this perfect law, which is God's law, because I'm walking in the Spirit. That's the life we've been called. And this is what I see in chapter 8. This is the truth. God will not give me humility or patience or holiness or love as separate gifts of His grace. Hear me out now. He is not a retailer dispensing grace to us in packets, measuring out some patience to the impatient, some love to the unloving. Okay, some meekness to the proud in quantities that we take as kind of a capital. When we get the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is all of that. We get it all. And it's a great thing, folks. We need to capture that truth afresh. The Holy Spirit has given only one gift to meet all our need. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the answer to our every need. Now, should we read the Bible? Of course we should read the Bible. I can assure you from personal experience that if you're not in the Bible a lot, may I say daily, you're going to suffer a lot of spiritual travesty. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to. You can't. You know, not at this church, the church of that, a brother who I thought was a good Christian man. Maybe he was. I don't know. But he said he hadn't read the Bible for a year. Well, that wasn't good at all. He hadn't read the Bible. I can't even imagine it. I would recommend we've all got to be in the Scriptures on a daily basis. Okay? And there is a new law in us which gives us a hunger for God's Word. Okay? Every time I'm thinking about making a decision, you know, I was in this class on Wednesday night with Bob, you know, oh my goodness, I was overwhelmed. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 8 weeks. The information I got, you know, it was overwhelming, okay? When I'm going to make a decision, where am I going to go for my source? I'm going to go to this book, you know? You're going to go to this book, this wonderful book. I'm looking for help. I'm looking for guidance. So we never want to negate the importance of this book. The Holy Spirit in us, guiding us as we read. Your thoughts? Go ahead.
It makes me think of something that Keith Gaynor says frequently.
Yes.
A little bit from God is better than a lot from men.
Yes.
So you talk about people that are spending 5 or 7 minutes a day reading their Bible, and maybe they're spending, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours reading other things.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
But that little bit from God,
yep.
I'm saying go, you know, enlarge to more than 5 minutes, but maybe you need to spend less time there and more time in God's Word. But if you get one thing out of God's Word, that is far superior to 10 things from what other men have to say.
Yeah. The average evangelical Christian adult spends over 4 hours a day, 4.5 hours, according to the study I read, on TV and computer. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Kind of scary. Wow. Okay, ready? Stay with me now. Matthew chapter 6, you don't need to turn to it. He says, "Behold the birds, consider the lilies." Now, if we ask the birds whether they were not afraid of the law of gravity, are you kind of afraid of it? How would they reply? They would probably say, "We don't know anything about the law of gravity. You know, all we know is we lift our wings up and the law of our life is to fly and we enjoy it." I've always thought the bird has the best life in the world, other than a Christian. I really do. I mean, flying around, having a good old time, landing. Hardly any animals ever get them. It's kind of cool. Please spare me with all these words, but I cannot contain myself. He has given us this new law of the Spirit, and for us to fly is no longer a question of our will, but it's a question of the life that we've been called to live, like the bird. Okay? So now what? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Number one, it is not a work. It is a walk. The burdensome and fruitless effort I have involved myself so often in trying to live the Christian life, basically in the flesh, to please God, no, no, no. It gives way to a place of quiet and restful dependence on His working. I remember Dr. Thompson, David Thompson. I'm on a board. I've been on this board for, I don't know, I think Thomas Jefferson was on this board. 40 years I've been on a board of a foundation that gives away a lot of money to Christian churches and stuff. Anyway, and he was on our board for years, and then he passed away. Dr. David Thompson, what a man. And his son goes to our church. At his funeral, his family got up, four kids, maybe five. You know what they said? I mean, believe me, this... Well, let me tell you what he said, what they said. "Our dad, we never heard him in our entire life ever raise his voice." Can you believe that? Never heard him raise his voice. Dr. Thompson was always controlled. And I'll say, by the Holy Spirit. And all those years I served on the boards, and believe me, when you're on a board of 8-10 people, there's battles. You know, even in a Christian board, they're just battles. Mike Wade, you were an elder at the same time. Aren't there a few battles happen once in a while on the elder board? I mean, we never went home mad at each other, but there's battles, right? Never had a battle with Dr. David Thompson. He was always calm. Always trusting, I felt, in the Lord. And when I heard his family give that testimony, I just thought to myself, boy, I hope they never ask my kids to give a testimony at my funeral, right? I sure hope they don't do that. I wouldn't want them to tell the truth. The first thing, it's not a work. It's a walk. What time is it?
10 o'clock.
Huh?
10 o'clock.
We're going to quit. Secondly, I just want to throw this in. And we'll finish up the next time. We will, Mike. You and I will get together. A walk implies subjection. It implies subjection. It implies submitting ourselves to the authority of the Lord and His Word and living accordingly. That's the life we're called to live. And we will read the last 8 verses of chapter 8 next time, because we've got to read those. Go ahead.
On your point you just made, I've been talking quite a bit about us being slaves in Christ.
Yes.
And that sounds really negative, and it sounds just bad and everything. But the thing is if we would understand that when you just accept biblical slavery,
yes,
it's like you said before, you're done. Like all your,
it's joy.
You, all the problems are in Christ's lap.
Yeah.
And you're just submitting to him. It's like, you're king, I'm not. Yeah. I'm the slave, you're the king. Do what you will. And it's,
amen,
so freeing, and it gives so much peace. And you can just take a breath.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that great? This is a life we're called to live. Last call.
One last thing, when we're talking about, you know, reading the Word, one of the things that I've run into in my life, and I'm probably sure others have too, it's like when you're struggling, when you're challenged, sometimes you don't know where to go.
Yeah. Word,
right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting when you're just faithful and you just get into the Word. I don't even care if you go like this and go, okay, I'm going to read this. You know, somehow, some way, the Lord will bring that verse to mind later. It will help. There's something, some way that the Lord will connect.
Amen.
Yours.
Yes.
To be able to walk through a situation. It may not be that very moment, but he's faithful.
And, amen.
And it's oftentimes when you're faithful and getting into the Word, you'll find that, I find that there are themes. So, for instance, this source will have a devotion on it, on this particular situation, passage, whatever. Another one will have, it'll be just this common, you know, theme that he's trying to get across to me.
Yes.
And again, that's pointing to his faithfulness.
Amen. I won't tell you more than 30 seconds, but I almost died a year ago to the day. I was so close to death, it's not even funny. I had dozens and dozens and dozens of people text me verses, hundreds of verses, that I am now sharing with other people who are in trouble. And I've been doing that all year. They have become my concordance, my biblical concordance. You're talking about what verses? You know, Terry Flint's one of them. You know, Terry. It's unbelievable what this man sends me. He still sends me this stuff. And I just love it. The Word of God, the comfort that I was given. Believe me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Sorry we didn't quite finish this up, but that's all right. We got next week or 2 weeks or whatever it's going to be. But Lord, we thank you that we can walk in the Spirit. We can know that you're in charge of this thing. I can just stand back in your shadow and watch it happen. And that is a joyful experience. And I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.